This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And Dennis is Dennis Halnan. He's engineer at Tab. He's going to come in and help me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Feel free to get online on this Saturday morning, and we will do our best to help you out. And let's get right to your calls. You've been nice enough to join us. Go to Jack in Torrington first. What's happening, Jack?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I've got a problem that I'm sure you've heard well and many times before. Drives me crazy. Get an email confirmation of an order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yep. In my left-hand column, I have all my accounts. In my right-hand column, my list of emails. And then in the right-hand side is the actual email, which thanks me for my order.
Okay.
I do a Command-V, or P rather, and try to print it, and it just won't print.
It may
and
be...
then in the...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. There's that little icon in the upper right-hand corner of the confirmation. It says, open another window. I've tried that, and that doesn't work either. I end up copying it, putting it in a Word document, and printing it from there. Any suggestions?
Wow.
I would think that you should be able to print an email directly out of Gmail. I assume you're using the web browser.
To get your mail?
To get the mail.
Yeah, this is okay. A Windows thing. I'm not right. Going directly into Gmail.
It's a Windows thing, meaning is it a mail client or
it's
is it
a mail client? Yeah, it's a mail client. From
oh, it has you're using the different... Windows 10 mail client?
Yes, apparently.
Okay,
that's where this is coming from. I've got several of my. I have different email addresses and I have different passwords for each one. Do you want those passwords, by the way?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I hope they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Oh, yes, come on, Jack. We already know the passwords. Come on.
I'm more technical than that. It's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, hey.
Dollar
well, that's
sign.
Clever.
Exclamation point or dollar sign.
Dollar
okay.
sign.
There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, the mail client should allow the print to happen.
Yeah, for some reason, it does nothing. I mean, Most other stuff prints, but when someone sends a confirmation of an order, that document will not print.
That's a very interesting problem.
It is, and it happens to be all the time. I mean, most emails are fine. Just text emails that come in print just fine. But this thing, these type of things, for some reason, do not. So like I say, my solution is copy them, paste them in a Word document, print it from there.
All right,
so
well,
this is not something you have immediate thought on, huh?
We don't, but the Googles do. So there's lots of people with this issue, it seems.
Yeah, I'm seeing
really?
That here.
Okay.
Yeah,
they're
saying you could have a Windows Store cache that could be damaged that maybe is part of this. because it's when you print anything, it's going to some level of cache before it can then be submitted to the printer.
Right.
And
okay,
so
gotcha.
I wouldn't have thought that's where you look, but that does come up. So there's some things that we can post to computertalkwithtab.com that you can try.
Good. That would be fine.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things here that occur in this. The other issue is you're using a Windows Mail client. Use a different client. Use Thunderbird.
Thunderbird is really, really, really good. It doesn't get talked about enough.
It doesn't. You know why? The connotation to the wine.
Yeah, I also set up that email you recommended a couple of weeks ago.
Proton,
I think it was. Yeah,
that's good.
I haven't really started to use it yet, but I've got it set up.
Well, so you already have a box?
Yes.
Yeah, test it. Forward the Gmail message to that.
Oh yeah.
Ah, ooh,
there you are.
Okay.
Woo! Eric has a good idea every now and again. You guys sound so surprised. Yeah, just forward it to that client and see if that works. It's just, again, Microsoft, move it to a different client and move along.
Okay. And if you have any other things that you could post up there, please do so. And thank you so much for your service. You guys do great work.
Thank you. We will do so, Jack. All right.
Thanks.
Yeah,
take
bye-bye.
Care.
You too. So we'll try to find an answer to that. There's a few things that we'll probably look at during a break.
Yeah.
But just trying a different client is a good idea. Mm-hmm. Let's go to, if I do say so myself, let's go to Sean in Meriden. What's happening, Sean?
Hi. I was calling to, I thought it was going to be a different kind of talk show, but it's good because I'm being educated because I'm not really computer savvy like a lot of other people.
Yeah.
But I just came from the DMV.
Yeah.
To renew my license.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're asking questions that have nothing to do with my license or anything that was on my old license. And they don't give you, they want more access to who I am with my email and everything like that they're going to communicate with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ask me my political affiliation and do I want to change?
Well, I know why. I know why. I'm going to tell you why. Okay.
Mm.
It's because there is a link between DMV registration and the voter registration.
Right.
And they're essentially asking you to sign up as a voter in addition to being a driver or whatever else you're doing at the DMV office. And they want to sign you up for a political party.
So they're trying to make it easier for people to register to vote?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, you do your business at DMV and... As a side benefit, you just got registered to vote.
Well, I was registered to vote anyway.
Well, they don't know that. Yeah. They literally do not know. So
they don't know that. Okay.
But they are they're
trying to
a
make
number
it
of years
maybe.
Ago there were laws passed that asked DMV. I think they refer to it as a motor voter law.
Motor voter. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's all it is. And if you don't want to answer those questions, I just. Put NA in there.
And I think there's the real ID, right? Also as part of this too. And you do need to show my wife and I are going to go get the real ID. You got to bring your marriage license. You got to bring your birth certificate. You got to prove who you are. So you get a little star on your driver's license calling it a real ID.
Yeah. And you also have to bring mail that's been sent to your address from somebody regularly do business with, like a utility or a bank.
Yeah. Because I had moved from one town to another. And they wanted proof that I actually lived there.
Right.
And so I brought my insurance, which it was mailed to my house.
Yeah,
that would meet that requirement. Yeah.
Now, I thought when I saw this note on our call screen that you were going to talk about data breaches and that personal info DMVs. Because
that's really what I'm concerned about.
I thought so, but we hadn't gotten there yet because that's what most people are concerned about. So then I found this great website. Talking about the worst DMV and DOT data breaches by state. Number one, it's not Connecticut, you'd think. Florida.
Oh.
133,000 people impacted. Number two, North Carolina. Number three, Pennsylvania. Four, Nevada. Five, Massachusetts. Come on, guys. Get your act together. Six, Indiana. Seven, California. Eight, Hawaii.
Whoa.
Nine, Tennessee. Ten, New York, with only 200 people impacted. Then again... Maybe they're right. We don't really know the numbers there.
Well, those are all self-reported.
Yeah.
Who knows?
So the issue is, yes, Sean, you should be concerned about your data, no matter who you give it to. But there's not much we can do.
Yeah. I'm not really. I mean, there's nothing really to hide. I mean, it's going to be quite a boring read, other than I'm a social worker and have been for 30 years. But, you know, you want to, but none of my cases make, you know, but the papers, praise God.
Right.
But, you know, it's just a whole thing about Big Brother watching kind of thing.
That, yeah.
It was had a weird feel to it.
No, and these times are weird. I'm with you. We're completely with you.
We hear you.
And DMV before had like 1,000 people in there, no armed guard. And now you have like 20 people and you have a armed guard, you know, ready to, you know, do whatever he's going to do. And I understand that, but you should have had him before.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You know, yeah. I remember the lines. Sure. So, yeah, Sean, I mean, that's what we think is going on. So.
All right. I appreciate your time. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
You too.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. The other thing to consider, because we bought a mattress for our kid. All right, we're going to take it out of the store. And the store's like, I need your driver's license number. I'm like, huh?
What?
Why do you need my driver's license number to take a mattress out of the store? Well, clearly they want to prove that you took the mattress, so I don't come back and say I never got my mattress, I guess. But I'm like, no, you're not getting my driver's license number. Then can I have your license plate of your vehicle? Well, I gave you that. I don't care. It's probably on your camera anyways.
Right.
But driver's license numbers, those types of things are part of, you know, identity theft, right? So why would a mattress store want to store my driver's license number when I bought a mattress for my kid? I'm getting a little crazy.
Yeah, that's
I can sign
excessive.
That I picked it up too. I can put my ex. I don't need my driver's license number. You know, is somebody really? I don't even know what scam they're trying to avoid. You know,
yeah, they're trying to avoid the rash of mattress thieves. They rush in and intercept a
mattresses
pickup of a mattress. Is this? A thing?
I don't know. It must be, Dennis. I mean, there's got to be some level of concern to ask for my driver's license number. I'm like, no, you're not going to get that. So it's crazy. So feel free to get online. We'll get to your calls. Three lines open for you on this Saturday morning, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And everything we've talked about has been posted live by Mike G over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice, so stick around for that. Let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Chris in Wethersfield next. What's happening, Chris?
Hi.
Hi.
I guess my big question is, I'll preface this with, I'm seeing like a nexus of, you know, risk, data and technology.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that happened to me from 9/11. I mean, 4 incoming and nobody knew. And now we're dealing with, you know, business integrated configuration solutions. And if I understand this correctly, Tab for Help only does this for businesses.
Yes, our firm is designed to support small to mid-sized businesses. We do this show as a public service for everybody
else. That's good. Now, so that gets me to my third thing. Where does a person who wants an integrated home configuration system solution first, you know, I guess some consultant, or I don't know where you would get it, and then, you know, that tells me these are the providers that get me what I want, and I know all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just a do-it-yourselfer,
yeah,
as many of your clients are on this show.
There's a lot of companies out there that do, you know, home integration technology.
Who?
I mean, my neighbor, Maximum Security, is a good guy in Southington. There's lots of, and security companies tend to be really good at that because they've been integrating technology for opening windows and doors and alarms for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's a natural extension then to add cameras and speakers and sound and any other level of automation that you want to add to your home. And being a security company, you would hope that they are going to use technologies that are not going to be open and leveraged and impacted by third parties. They're going to use closed systems, right? So I mean, that's a way to start. The internet companies, I'm not going to say that's the good way to go, but even they are offering integrated technologies to manage your home and manage your thermostat. And
all of the ISPs are doing stuff like that to some degree.
Yeah, and you've got companies like Google.
Will they be integrated? Because when I listen to your show, I keep hearing, you know, all these problems.
Yes.
You know, that are kind of like, tell me the problem is it's not integrated.
So you're right, Chris. I would never tell you it's all going to work.
Because it doesn't.
It doesn't work. So if you want your, I mean, just getting your coffee maker programmed to turn on a coffee maker is hard for folks.
So is digital, you know, was that, why does it work?
Why does it work?
Why doesn't it work?
Oh, it doesn't work because there's so many protocols and integrations that have to speak to so many different things that you need an overarching umbrella, like, is it Samsung?
Architecture, you think?
Yeah. You need to have an overarching umbrella of an app. Like, I think it's Samsung has a Smart Things.
Smart Things.
That can then help you integrate all the different things that are from different companies into your Smart Things, so that you can have your, like, if somebody presses your doorbell, or comes to your front door and the doorbell sees it, your air conditioning can then change, right? So, like, if you have a rental property and it's set to have 85 degrees, but if you want it to turn automatically to cool when they walk in, you can integrate those two systems, one being a Nest, one being a different type of doorbell,
right,
using a third party that's overarching.
Right.
So it's a big headache, right? So you need a company to decide this, or if you want to do it yourself, you can do it yourself. But, then somebody does an update and your air conditioner doesn't work.
Right. So, you know, I want, like, one-stop shopping with a person that's responsible.
Right. Well, a company like I gave, you know, just an example of a security company like Maximum Security in Southington, they would probably be somebody to talk to. I don't know all the things they integrate, but I know they do a lot of things.
Cool.
Companies like them.
All right. Yeah. I just wanted to say one last thing for the person with a DMV.
Yeah.
I already mentioned this to Blumenthal.
Uh-huh.
Women were, I had all the information.
Yeah.
You know, passport, everything from, you know, house bills.
Yep.
Yep.
They wanted proof of my maiden name.
Yep. They want your marriage certificate.
And birth certificate,
yeah.
And the thing is, that's like half of and that wasn't really very, that wasn't very clear on what you had to bring in to get your new license.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have it,
no ID for you.
Come back. 30 bucks to come back.
You're kidding. 30
no.
bucks to come back.
That's
what I said to Blumenthal. I mean, come on. You know, what was this? Was this, you know?
I'm sure he took your information and decided to make it 50 bucks. That's how they work.
All right. You guys are cute.
All right, Chris.
I heard what he was saying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's customer service at the DMV. Even though you're paying them with your taxes and all of that, it's $30.
Well, that tells
no license for you.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't have an integrated approach with my passport, which
exactly,
you know, that system already has that.
Yeah, no, that's crazy talk, Chris. You're just talking logical. Come on, it's government. Government doesn't go logical. They're tangent people. All right.
Love you guys.
All right. Thank you. We love you.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Yeah, turning an overarching system to manage how you open your drapes or you lock your doors, or I can't tell you how many times I got to check if my garage door is closed these days, because you just, you know, you got to get a system for that. Now your garage door can talk to you.
Right.
So some cool stuff out there. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Shay and Joe, hang on. We'll get to your calls. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And everything we've talked about has been posted by Mike G over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. We used to say feverishly posting, but we can't say that anymore. So he's working extremely hard, posting all these links over there. And, of course, we're on WTIC's Facebook page. And if Mark Zuckerberg deems this broadcast worthy, you might see it in your news feed or your friend feed. So feel free to like it and share it. And that way other folks know we're out there. Of course, don't forget the podcast, odyssey.com over at WTIC.com. All the shows are podcasts. So if you missed anything here, you can get it there. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in. Thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. And we have two lines open for you if you'd like to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Shay in North Windham first. Morning, Shay.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good. Welcome, Dennis.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, I have my email. I cannot get my email probably for at least a year now on my desktop, which is running Windows 10. It keeps telling me, enter your username, password, blah, blah, blah. Then the server, it says smtp.mail.yahoo.com. And then my username is my email address and my password. And no matter how many times I try to hit it or change the password, this keeps coming up. And it goes for all three of the emails I have on this computer.
All right, I'm going to ask a question. Is this an sbcglobal.net email address or snet.net, or is it yahoo.com?
No, it's a Bell
South. Bell South? Okay.
I know. Don't laugh. I lived in Key West.
That's okay. We're not laughing, but no. That is telling us,
too.
That is telling us what the problem is. And the problem is that you're going to need to create, you're going to have to log into your bellsouth.net email address on the web, and you're going to create there a special key, which you will then use as your password in your email client. And this is something that we've run into a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Eric and I are both very familiar with this particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a solution. We're going to get it for you and post it.
The other solution we'll post is to stop being at Bell South, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When you guys suggest Proton, do you have to change your email address, though?
Well, right. Yeah.
Yeah, you will.
Because now you're at Bell South and it's not working for you. That post office is, you know, like Dennis says, requires some different connectivity. So this is not going to get better. It's only going to get worse for you. So at some point, you got to bite the bullet and say, you know what? I need to really go over to Bichet at something other than that.
Okay. Well, I also have charter.net, and that's not coming up either. And that's my...
Oh,
okay.
That's a different story.
Yeah. So each account, if you look at each configuration of mail, are going to have certain ports and certain SSL levels or TLS levels that you need to subscribe to. So for your charter, you should go to charter's email configuration page and you'll see what ports, you know, 443 or whatever port they're recommending you use to connect your email to. And that'll be all specific to the mail systems. So for charter,
I was able to getting everything while ago.
So are you getting an actual error? Maybe like a 08 X error?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you're not getting an error. This is not coming in.
It's just not coming in.
Yeah. So
I get it on my other devices, my phone and my iPad, but just not on this desktop.
And you're using the Windows Mail client?
Outlook.
Oh.
How old is your Outlook?
Oh, probably.
Do you know what version of Outlook it is? I should have asked you that.
It's 2012, maybe? Is that one of them?
Well, there's 2010 and 2013.
Yeah.
Oh,
2010. Yep. Same thing that happened to me.
Go ahead.
Our mail stopped working. Yours hasn't worked for a year, so it's not the exact same thing. But even though I had the settings configured correctly, I had to change the security setting from SSL to auto. I think it's auto. And it just lets it choose it all by itself. Also, you can go and bring up your Outlook in safe mode. You could have a corruption within it. I mean, I got an error. You're not getting anything. So mine was showing something weird. And then I changed the security setting. That was one of the options to try, and that did work. In your case, if you're not getting anything, no errors, no nothing, I don't think your accounts are configured properly, but I would start with one at a time. You know, remove all the accounts from Outlook, reboot it, and then start fresh. Put the account in as if it's your first day putting in your charter account, and it'll resync. It'll take time, but it'll resync the email. I think you should start with Charter because that's your internet provider now, right?
Right.
Yeah, and you have support from them as well.
Yes, you could. Yeah, this is a live account that you are really paying for, and you can get support from them, and they will help you.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But I think something's up with your Outlook. But you can get go into safe mode. You can bring Outlook. You can actually run Outlook in safe mode. Force it into safe mode, which is really just typing Outlook .exe space /safe,
and it, Outlook dot what.
Outlook.exe space /safe, and you do that in the run bar.
Yeah.
And that should bring it up in its own safe mode. And sometimes that fixes Outlook issues.
It can.
So yeah. There could be a profile issues. There could be a PSTA corruption. There could be a bad email in there. All sorts of things that could be occurring. I just think it's your accounts aren't configured properly. Because something changed on you. We can post how to. Well, I'll put the Charter information out there for you. Dennis probably already did it.
Yeah, I got it for you.
So the Charter information's out there, and that's where you should start.
Yeah, Mike G will put those out for you.
Okay, good.
All right, Jay.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. These old mailboxes, guys, are going to go away. So if you have important things connected to a company that doesn't exist anymore.
Well, in her case, she should be using that Charter account because that's supported.
Right. And Intel, I mean, it's not like your friends in Key West can't get the new email.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean.
Bell South. Let's go to Joe in Stafford Springs. Hey, Joe.
Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I have a problem sending out emails to only one person, a friend. Intermittently, my emails are ending up in his spam folder. This doesn't happen to anybody else.
No.
But this friend, who's very technically competent, sometimes he gets them straight through, and other times he gets them in his spam folder.
Yeah.
He has a Yahoo.com email address, and I have a Cox.net email address. Right. One other item that I that might correct it, when I click on his email, his name comes up in place of his, on my end of the deal. When I hit his email address, I get a menu item that comes up on my phone that says add to VIPs, add to contacts.
Okay.
If I tell him to click on my email address at his end and tell him to add my email to his VIP, will that correct the problem?
It probably won't.
Yeah, no. It's basically what you're describing, Joe, is that, you know, he's got a red mailbox and you've got a black mailbox, and the mailman doesn't care. Your separate sides of the equation are separate. Where you send your email from and to, and what he receives from and to, really is not part of this. But his spam settings are the thing that is impacting your email. Somewhere in the Yahoo settings, that spam protection that he might have monkeyed around with one day went from medium to a little higher maybe. And all of a sudden, that email you send over, Yahoo's saying, that looks like spam to me. I don't care if Joe sends it all the time. I'm going to put it in the spam. So it's really nothing you can do, Joe. We have this issue even in the business world, right, where entire companies' mail systems can be deemed spam because there's third parties out there that actually kind of traffic cop spam in general. Some of them have a false positive on it. Some of them are just very very aggressive in targeting domains that might be sending out spam. But in your case, it's on him. It's not, and there's nothing you can do, I don't think, to fix this.
Not from your side, no. What he might want to do is create an email rule that has your email address in it and then skips any further review of the email and just plunks it into a particular folder or just leaves it in his inbox.
Right. Or lower his spam settings so that your stuff gets
through. That might also help too.
Or whitelist you as a, like, it's almost like the rule thing.
Well, yeah, but I'm wondering if even if he whitelisted it, it's somehow the logic that Yahoo is applying is still getting in the way. A rule may completely bypass that.
Mm-hmm. Unless it doesn't get to his box, doesn't get to his client.
That too.
I appreciate your suggestions on that. So somehow I have to diplomatically, he's a good friend of mine, but still, diplomatically, I have to suggest to him that the problem is solely on his end.
Yes, it has to be.
Oh, this is this is great. This is a great thing, Joby.
I'd like to phrase it to him in a way that he doesn't feel like I'm insulting him or something.
Well, the way we do it to our clients is that we say, it's not us, it's you. I'm telling you, this is a big problem because I've got, you know, the clients, we're not able to get ABC Company's email. Rah, 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 rah. What's going on? Well, ABC Company has been designated a spammer. I don't care. We want to get their email. We can't fix their spam problem, you know? So yeah. It is his fault. It is his issue. So there's no diplomatic way. I don't know. I mean, people like ice cream. Maybe you buy them some ice cream and tell them it's...
The issue is that I didn't ask him directly, but I don't think he's getting that problem with anybody else. Although I can't say that for sure, but that's the next question I'm going to ask him. Do you have that problem with anybody else?
Well, here's the issue.
If he says I never do have that problem with anybody else. Then I question your solution to the problem.
Right. So then basically he either has no other friends but you, or it's a fine. You can't not see mail that didn't get to your box, right? So there's so much junk that people send to people all the time. Hey, check out this funny thing. If it didn't get to his box, how does he know it didn't get to his box unless he's perusing his spam folders on a regular basis? And most sane people don't do that.
Right.
So it's him. It's not you.
The other question is, how come it's intermittent?
On the email. It's based on the email system that sees your message as spammy. Whatever you're sending, whatever link you're sending, whatever, you know, in that case, you could be contributing to some of this just because of the stuff you're sending. But the mail systems are designed, the spam systems are designed to prevent this. But to, you know, he can go on the Yahoo side and say, always receive a message from Joe. You should be able to, quote-unquote, whitelist your mailbox.
Right.
But it's all on that configuration. The spam systems that are out there, some are really bad, some are really good. So false positives are rare. You're getting a false positive. You're producing a false positive for him.
Well, I appreciate you very much. I'll try to diplomatically transfer this information to him, and I'm sure we'll be able to correct it on his end of the deal. But I thank you very much. I enjoy listening to your program every Saturday morning, and I'm going to recommend him. He's in Massachusetts to recommend WTIC UTech services on Saturday morning.
Yeah, but yeah, the whole show is called ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Don't get him confused. And send the podcast over to him. You can always send the podcast of this call and say, hey, it's dated, and say, hey, that way you don't actually have to say it. You can kind of have we just said it. And then he can just listen and say, oh, Joe's worried about making me feel bad. And he might then
excellent.
Take all right.
Well, send the podcast. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You got it, Joe. Talk to you later.
Bye now.
All right, bye-bye. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get back to your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and that's the UConn Marching Band. They're going to be firing up pretty soon. Probably the only reason to go to the football games, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And so check them out. They do an amazing show in halftime. And if that game happens to be good, you win. Double. Hey, peanut butter side up that day. Let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Mark in Bristol next. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, I'm going to be somewhat vague this morning for your sake.
Okay.
The reason for my call is I was trying to stream a live symposium for 3 days. You guys probably know what I'm talking about. And my 60-inch LG smart TV, which is only about 2 years old, absolutely refused to stream it.
To receive the stream.
What's that?
To receive the stream, you're saying.
Right. I have a web browser built into that TV.
Yeah.
And I went to the website, and it just would not display it. All I would get would be that spinning circle.
The built-in web browser in the TV probably doesn't support the video encoding that's going out.
Yeah.
That's what I would think.
Okay, that's one.
Yeah.
Now, I then pulled out my Dell laptops, one that I use, the one that I'm using right now, and that one worked for about 2 minutes. It received the feed, and I got the spinning wheel, and I was disconnected. I could not reconnect.
What is your internet performance, Mark? What do you have for internet?
200 and about whatever the upload is, 60, you know, 200 download, 60 or something upload.
Are you connecting the laptop wirelessly in your home, or is it hardwired?
One hardwired, two not hardwired.
Did the hardwired version work?
No.
So
that's why I'm not saying too much.
I know where you're going.
Okay, great.
So what you want to do is connect a VPN. You want to connect a Proton VPN to the internet. Now you're streaming anonymously because you're kind of alluding to somebody blocking the information from coming to your system, I'm guessing. And so if you establish a VPN and then try to stream it, it will be a poor performance because the VPN is encrypted. That can definitely slow things down. But
right.
Okay.
That might eliminate your, I think, feeling that somebody is blocking your access to this stream for whatever reason. Then, of course, it could be that whoever's stream you're trying to get wants to charge you or something like that. That'd be a whole other issue. Okay.
There's a little more information which might help you.
Yeah.
So then the three laptops did this all perform this, acted the same way.
Yep.
So I figured maybe it's an OS issue, and I don't know if they can shut down an Android operating system. I whipped out a tablet. I had an Android tablet connected right up, and I smart viewed that to my big screen, my LG TV, and screen shared it and watched all 3 days with my crappy old tablet.
Yeah, so it could be some sort of content write management on the Windows side of things, possibly. Your LG, though, is a browser-based stream, so it would be similar to your tablet, right?
I have to say that the built-in web browsers in a lot of televisions...
Not so good.
They are not good.
Yeah.
Some of them are aged. I wouldn't say that they're not secure, but they generally don't keep up with a lot of the technology changes, and video codecs are one of those.
And, of course, your signal wasn't being impeded because the browser was able to receive the stream. So it could be some sort of digital rights management on the Windows side of things. It could be more nefarious than that. I would tell you to do a test. Try to actually connect the Windows machine through a VPN and then see if you can stream the content.
Now that the symposium is over, I'm looking at you on TV. I shouldn't be doing that because you're talking.
Yeah.
Now that it's over, I can use any of those devices to go to that site and view the information.
Okay, so the other thing, too, it could have just been poor multi-threaded streaming technology from the symposium.
Correct.
Lots of churches had a hard time during COVID trying to figure out how to get their services out. They had to use third-party streaming systems, and you could have just kept getting unlucky. With your connections to the symposium, and they could have been overloaded, oversubscribed. Maybe they didn't pay for enough bandwidth because they got to pay for all that bandwidth of your viewing.
And your Android device was probably streaming a lower resolution version of the video.
Yeah, maybe.
And that might have been successfully working because whatever pipe they have going out was good enough to accommodate that, but it wasn't good enough to accommodate the higher resolution video.
Yeah. And you didn't get any errors. You just got
a
spinny thing. So,
Well, it, again, the three computers.
I know.
Not the LG TV, but the three computers worked fine for several minutes. I mean, clear.
Right.
It's all in sync within reason.
Yep.
And then one by one, they dropped out.
Yep.
So I'm going back. But I can see you're getting a little uncomfortable. So I'm just wondering.
You can see I'm getting uncomfortable. I'm not uncomfortable.
I'm not.
Given we have no more First Amendment, you know what I'm talking about.
I know.
The government does not know, and I'm just trying to figure out how much more I'm going to be able to be censored based on my public IP address.
Well, use a VPN. That's what I suggest.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Ted.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. We got to go.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye. So, yeah, interesting call. I mean, these days you never know what's causing the issue, and then you're getting more and more paranoid if it's them or you or who or what.
There are so many cogs in the machine that to account for, you can't account for them all.
I want to thank all you guys joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Mike G for doing everything live for us over at our website. I want to thank Joe for producing.
Remember, there is no cloud. It's just somebody else's computer.
See you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.